Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 150 of the Van Hemlock Podcast.
Another one of those milestone ones,
isn't it? It is. We should probably do something crazy to celebrate, like time-travelling iPhones and things.
That's too much effort.
All right,
let's talk about what we've been playing.
Let's talk about what we've been playing instead.
What have you been playing?
I've been playing... Well, last since we spoke, we'd all hung up with the Warhammer thing, and last week we did the old roundtable thing there. It was a lot of fun. Now it's back to LOTRO. We got the band back together. We've got the old Monday group of 65s, and, well, mostly 65s. Yes, I'm looking at you.
What?
With your weird phobia.
Have you any idea how hard it is not to level?
I know. You would have done it by accident by now, surely. 64.999 minstrel.
Yeah, I'm sort of holding on.
Is there a name for that, being afraid of being the max level in an MMO? If not, we need to devise one, probably based on Greek terminology. Something phobia. Do write in.
If anyone's educated,
please call. Anyway, we got the get band back together, and immediately the first thing we did was the grand stairs again.
Yay!
We five-manned that because there was a missing memo and one of our members was not reliably informed of our getting back together. But the week after that, we were six of us. We did some quite a lot of story stuff. It was sort of picking up where we were on the volume two, I don't know, book five, is it? Six, something like that. Lots of chapters there, knocked on the head. It sort of further reinforced the whole this isn't a great thing to be doing as a group of six people thing, which is increasingly the LOTRO storyline seems to be becoming. I mean, they're backwardly soloifying it all with the inspiration buff, and going forward from, like, I don't know, late volume two and early volume three, I guess that's all quite a lot of soloable stuff there.
There was an awful lot of everyone running backwards and forwards in this small area doing different steps
and checking filofaxes to try and work out if we were all level still and so on. And what the hell was that monster at the end of it all? We did
that's from
volume two. It comes in two parts, basically. The first half of it is the stuff that launched with Moria, and the second half continues on with the Siege of Mirkwood expansion. So we've basically finished now the Moria stuff. We got halfway through volume two. Lots more to do, obviously, but that last boss, I don't know what it is. There's something about, you go to about the Foundations of Stone in Moria, and you get down far enough geographically, you know, down into the deeps, where they don't really talk about it much in the books. Tolkien doesn't really mention it. It's all just shadowy things, best left unseen and so on and whatever. And there is this faction called the Unseen. I think they're Unseen, are they? Yeah, Unseen. And it's like the monster designers at Turbine just snapped and decided to go off on one after doing, like, orcs and goblins and wargs and trolls for the last sort of 5 years of development. They thought, right, let's go and let's make some monsters we want to make, and they've totally gone off-road as far as Tolkienism goes. I mean, the rank and file stuff at the very bottom of the Foundations of Stone and Dark Delvings, that sort of end, are xenomorphs from the Aliens movies, complete with egg pools.
Yeah.
Yes, and anyway, that theme continues towards the end of the first half of Volume 2, and we ended up in this two-man instance.
Yeah.
That was odd. That was bizarre. It still let you have the inspiration buff, but you have to duo that one or solo it, obviously.
That was easy.
It was fairly easy. I went through with a captain. I think it was a guardian and captain combos. We blasted on through there. That
my minstrel and a champion.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can't kill.
I think that left a hunter and a runekeeper, I think, was the last pairing. And I think they all got through it all as well. But yeah, right at the very end, a little bit spoilerific, you're fighting these things that are doing that thing where it makes giant chasms in the floor and disappear you for a few seconds, which I always find hilarious. That's nearly as fun as being punted. I love being punted by trolls.
Especially off cliffs.
Absolutely. Best bit. But then there's a big portal thing at the far end, which does look a bit Stargate-y. And then something happens and another thing happens. And this monster comes out, and I think I did describe it as wowish. I don't know if that's actually a word. It looks it was this giant gnarled demon-style thing with all the jagged edges. And it glowed fluorescent purple and then changed phase to glow fluorescent green. And I was looking at it, and I thought I was in the wrong MMO for a minute there. It looked very much like something you'd see in World of Warcraft.
I barely looked
at it. Same palette. Same style, everything. And I'm just thinking, hey, what's this doing in here? I'm not sure I approve of this, but we killed it.
It's graphics in an MMO. I don't get to look at that.
You're busy looking at health bars.
I have to heal.
Absolutely.
I don't get to see all the shinies.
Yeah, so it's a rather surreal and World of Warcraft-style flashback there at the end of that section. But we're moving on now. We're into Lothlorien and doing stuff for the elves there, most of which requires us to go back into Moria.
Yay.
Good reuse of content there. But that then will continue on. I don't know if book... Is it Volume 3 that starts? I think Volume 3 starts not in Mirkwood at all. It goes off south down into Innardrath. So
yeah.
Quite a way to go on the main story, but I'm wondering
is
that a suitable thing to be trying to convince a six-person group to all be doing at once?
I think
there's
we need
a lot
to push
solo-ing.
On until we get to the next six-man instance.
Well, this week, because there's like just a million bank holidays all over the shop, and I don't even know what day of the week it is or who I am anymore.
Three-day week at work.
Yeah. Monday we only had three people show up on our... this last week, three people show up on our Monday group. Which was myself as a guardian. I think Melmoth was there as a captain, and Bevis was there as a champion. So it was another fantastic experiment in my ongoing deconstruction of the Trinity. We were playing entirely plate classes only. EQ2 we got clerics only. This time we're going with front row melee plate classes only, and we're seeing how that works. We were doing some of the Mirkwood three-man instances. This is stuff we'd not really looked at in our previous sojourn. So this is sort of new territory, scouting out for us all a bit there. It's quite a lot of three-man instances there. We started off with the Sword Halls, which as far as we can tell is this season's Grand Stairs. How to get the most tokens for the minimum effort. It's only three-man, yeah.
That's not fun.
And it's basically this giant arena, which presumably...
I miss multiplayer content.
Presumably, well, there's some six-man stuff there, which we didn't look at, but we'll be coming back to once everyone's there. Yeah, Sword Hall's big arena with a Nazgul looking on and giving it all of that in a very James Bond villain style, and allowing us, instead of just swooping down and biting our heads off with his big winged bird thing, he lets us prove our mettle by fighting his champions
and
in arena combat.
And after you win, he lets you go?
There's two ways. Obviously, there's your hard mode and your normal mode. The hard mode task is to run in there and light a brazier, which then so enrages the Nazgul, he decides to send all three of his elite master nemesis-style bosses at you at once. Remember, there's only three of you, so that's one nemesis each, or elite master, or whichever they are. So, quite hard work. They've all got special gimmicks.
Nazgul could do it himself.
Well, you get dread if you go anywhere near the end of the arena he's stood on top of, gloating. It's the classic James Bond villain. He's there. Shoot him in the head. No, not happening. Anyway, so we had to go at that and wiped terribly because it was our first ever go and our first ever look. And to be honest, we're all still learning our classes again. But if you don't like the brazier, then he starts calling you a coward and then sends his bosses in one at a time, preceded by a few waves of normal elites as well. So it's a bit more of a normal type of experience with... But yes, very quick, however you do it. I mean, I can see why that is the instance that everyone just LFFs for and grinds to get the tokens, because you basically go in there, you get three tokens even if you do it in normal mode. If you manage to work out the interlocking strategy, or perhaps don't do it with plate classes and actually have a person in a dress and some healing or something, you can probably kill all three of those bosses in, under 5 minutes. And rinse and repeat. You get a daily. I think the daily is to do the challenge thing, but then you can do a normal mode as many times as you like.
We'll
rinse
grab
and repeat tokens.
We'll grab Ed and prove it.
it's mix and match. It's going to be interesting when we're all back together. We could probably try splitting into
different trees. The other three can do what they want. me as a minstrel, you as a guardian, and Ed as a hunter. I think that we'll perfectly suited.
Well, our champion... captain main healing and guardian tanking, obviously we did the normal mode without too much trouble. We actually did that, we wiped on the three bosses because we'd never seen it before and didn't know anything about it, but doing them one at a time, it takes a bit longer. It's about 20 minutes 25 minutes worth of fighting in there, and then you're done, and three medallions of Dol Guldur, that's your new tokens there.
I dread to think how long it takes if you've got three optimized people.
Well, it's the sort of very quick challenge you can repeat as much as you like, as long as your patience holds out and really works the technique.
Is there not a timer on it?
No, it didn't seem to be. You either light the brazier before he finishes his introductory monologue.
Is there not a timer on repeating it?
I think you can go as many times as you like, but the daily component of it, which is the challenge, which is kill all three at once, I think you only get to do that once every 12 hours or so. But to just go in there and do it in normal mode, and you still get three tokens for that, so you must get, six tokens for doing that? I don't know. I mean, not that the tokens are the be-all and defender all of Lotra, of course. I was really, really just getting fed up with tokens in that game, to be honest.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Casual Stroll to Mordor had a little a ranty piece about this a while back, and they'd done a composite image of all the possible tokens you can amass in that game, and it was just absolutely ridiculous. It looked like a chessboard with a different thing on each square.
Well, J.R.R. Tolkien token
was, yes,
very
absolutely. Yeah. So then we did the Warg Pens, another 3-man one. That was quite technical. Your challenge there is to not leave any meat behind. There's these slabs, these big steaks lying around all over the place. And you have to basically drag a Warg. These are all sort of elites and signatures and so on. You, as you're fighting them, when they get to a certain amount of hit points, down to about 20% or something, they'll walk off to the nearest slab of meat, scarf it down, and gain this horrific buff. Okay. They actually get visible glowing red stuff coming out of them after they've been fed, and they get a 200% damage buff, etc., etc., and things get things get quite technical. Well, you have to let them eat to use up all the meat in the level to get your daily challenge.
Ah.
Yeah, I mean, normal mode is, I suppose, stop them eating. It makes life a lot easier. We got quite far in that one. It's quite technical, a lot of careful pulling and so on. It's you can see why people would do sword hauls instead of this one, but this, it was interesting, and some interesting quirky mechanics there as well. We couldn't beat the boss in the end. Enormous big wolf at the far bottom end of it all, and he's got loads of little wolves with him, and there's a whole load of slabs of meat in there, and we were trying to we couldn't even kill him without the slab. It was just wolf-tastic. It was, yes, that's one to come back to, I think. But we killed an interim boss along the way on that one and got a token for doing him, so that was all right. The tokens are achievable. I mean, there's, I don't know if I'm looking at the right vendor or whatever, but the stuff we got for the Moria medallions doesn't seem, it seems better than the stuff we're getting for these new ones. So perhaps there's a different trade.
Oh, but that's changed now anyway. So.
Well, the Radiance thing makes it all a bit uncertain now. Yeah, we'll have to relearn our way around the gear, I suppose. Which else did we try? There was... I can't remember what it's called. Nerdalru, possibly. See, I'm just loving the new classic join window.
Yes.
We can go to... I mean, some of these instances I'd even never even heard of, let alone found the entrance to or could get a whole party into when you're starting up for an evening. I mean, basically, if you decide previously, in the old days, you decided you were going to do one dungeon, you'd trek all the way out there or, you know, abuse the members of your team who've got travel powers.
How was your acorn?
My acorn was blown a fair bit. No, it wasn't blown at all this session because of this new system. Yeah, you'd get to the dungeon, you'd do the dungeon, then you'd come back out of the dungeon, you'd be stood next to the dungeon. And to go off to another dungeon halfway around the other world, well, that wouldn't really be... You wouldn't even conceive of doing that in a single gaming session, because that would take you about 2 hours to get there. Now, you just pop back out wherever you were when you were at the join menu, and you queue up another one. I mean, yes, it breaks immersion, but I suppose, you know, is long, tedious travel in a group a good thing? Or
no.
Do you want to get in and actually get on with the fun? Because basically, we can just chain instances and try all sorts of different ones throughout the night. We managed about three of them and a skirmish in one session, which you just wouldn't do under the old system. So I'm loving that join window. Yes, Nerdalru or something, which was this really fiendish, interlocking, complex puzzle of levers and gates and drawbridges set in this massive, vertically constructed water wheel system. It's really quite... I liked it. There's a puzzle element, trying to figure it out. Obviously, you can go to a wiki or a guide and read exactly how to do it on your first go if you want, but it was just a lot of fun trying to figure out what was going on, where, who needed to pull what lever. It was, you know, combination puzzles, multiple people being in different places and doing stuff. Really enjoying that one until we got to the bottom and it just threw this ridiculously overpowered puzzle boss at us. Yeah. This is another of the World of Warcraft-style monsters that keep creeping into my Lotro, and it was in this room with a load of giant pistons that all stomp down in different sequences, and this monster wails on you a bit and then runs away and becomes invulnerable, and you have to pull a lever to make a piston stomp on him to break him out of the thing. It was just sort of all that choreography. I just love tank and spank bosses, you know, but no, there's a lot of thought involved in trying to figure out how to do all this stuff. We didn't quite have enough oomph for that one. I think Captain Mainhealing did a fantastic job, but possibly not the optimum class for that. You might probably want a Runekeeper or a Minstrel if possible. I was just amazed how well we did, though. Three plate-wearing classes, you know, with full healing and Trinity work, but not in the way you'd expect, you know. So it's interesting. I think it shows a certain degree of flexibility as well, I suppose. If you can get a captain doing main healing and a champion as your main DPS... Yeah, what else could you do? What other combinations would work? I'm all about deconstructing the Trinity these days. I'm fed up with it. You know, you must be one of these, and one of these, or no one's having any fun at all. You know, any way we can break this stupid thing, any way we can abuse it, any way we can use hybrids to just be who the hell we want, I'm all for, frankly. So, yes, lots of good Lotra on the Monday there. On the Friday, we've been... I can't remember what we did. I think I missed it. Well, I missed one Friday because it was a bank holiday and I was confused and somewhere else and doing something. Was it a games board game day?
We were off playing Catan. Six-player Catan.
Six-player Catan. My God, that lasted 4 hours. It was like raiding, wasn't it?
It was brilliant.
Yeah, we're just...
I hope they do an eight-player version.
Yeah, I hear they all went off to farm drakes in Ram Duath, which is southern Angmar, northern North Downs. That one where even the deed says, kill many drakes.
Yeah.
I think the previous week we were doing some more Garth Garwin on the Friday group with the 30s gang. And I did a successful Grimbark run. That was good. I was beginning to despair of ever beating any of those. We had a good old go at the six-man one as well, but one of the bosses bugged out, and that was that. But invaluable. We learned a lot. I hear we're starting to out-level the necessity of getting those tokens in the first place. Garth Garwin's one of the few instances that doesn't scale. So, before long, we're not really going to need to. Although it does mean that the instances themselves get easier and easier. Trouble is, I don't really want to say that we all have to keep doing this instance every week until everyone's got tokens. We could take it or leave it, I think. So we'll be moving on level-wise. I think we're getting to a lot of people nearly reaching 40 now. So we're probably doing some adventuring in the Troll Shores. I'm not sure what we're doing for the next thing. I think we've got a couple of new people joined the guild in the last week or so. So I think we're going to be subjecting them to the full horror that is our 12-man skirmish with the level picked far too optimistically difficult. Which is my specialty. I'm generally not allowed to... I think I've worked it out, but it was pointed out to me that the skirmish rewards is probably a good thing to try and balance it against. If you can, you drop the level until the percentage says 100 or as near as, and then that's actually a manageable challenge for the group.
200's too much, is it?
250, yeah. I think it goes up to about 308. That was 380 or something.
We're not that good.
We're not that good, no. No, lots of fun, though. We're still going with the Friday group. I'm looking forward to a time when the Friday group reaches the Monday group's level, because then I can...
What, 64?
64.999 in your case, yeah. Because then I can give up minstreling for good. I'm trying to be a good healer. I just can't do it. I don't know why.
You're just not kind and compassionate enough to heal.
That's possibly it, yeah. Also, I think like a tank, which is not great when you're the minstrel. The minstrel shouldn't be at the front with the sword out, walloping things.
They should.
I mean, I've got a shield, obviously. I'm a tank of some sort, so...
No, you should be at the front hitting with your tank.
Well, I've got a musical instrument. That's for standing in the prancing pony with. Anyway. Yes, so let's talk about Tuesday, Pirates of the Burning Sea. And I've been having a lot of bad luck over the last couple of weeks there. I've lost a ridiculous number of ships. I lost two last night.
Wow, what did you do?
Well, charging in and trying to tank ships that Admiral Sven has picked out for us, which are generally a little bit too difficult. I admire his optimism, frankly. He's a go-getter. He attempts to go and get
very big
fleets.
Have you considered being in the second wave?
I'm level 19 free trader, the economic class, and yes, I pimp my ship for boarding and stuff, but even so, level 38 ships are... generally can broadside you very hard and deep before you manage to get the hooks on. So yes, I've been watching a lot of ships going to the bottom of the ocean, but that's okay, because
it's when
been...
you hook on and that boat moves away to one side and the entire top of your boat goes away because there's about a gap in the middle.
They're just pulling my grappling cannons over the side and then sinking me. It's a quite embarrassing thing. It's okay though, because my I don't know, I had a bad week with the cornering the market with the structures thing. I think a listener is gazumping me or something.
Quite possibly.
I probably shouldn't be talking about my cunning secret economic plans on this show that
no,
lots of people then go away and listen to and exploit.
Everyone who listens is out to get you in every game.
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, I logged on a fortnight ago and found the Bartacus structure deep market was absolutely saturated. I was like, ooh, blimey, hang on. This is a bit too much of a coincidence. So I don't know who you are out there, but stop it. Anyway,
don't stop it, it's funny.
Anyway, this week I've set up a whole load that massively undercut whoever that was, and I'm still doing quite well with the money.
You're still collapsing the economy, though.
I'm providing useful structures to people who need them at low costs.
It's people like you that make the government really upset when there's no growth in the economy.
Don't worry that your sawmill has been made of balsa wood. It's not a problem. No, I just do the deeds. Players still has to go and find their own materials and construct it themselves. You just need the deed as a part of.
So you only
half
to join the economy.
I'm just providing plans. It's up to them how shoddily they build it or something. Yes, but this all means that I'm still doing okay for cash, which means I've developed quite a disposable throwaway attitude towards the civilian ship deeds, as well as the deeds you buy off the market. You can buy civilian civilian versions of all the ships on an infinite supply from an NPC. They've only got one durability point each, which means the first time they're sunk, they're gone for good.
That's why you're getting through so many ships.
Yeah, they're not that great, but they're there in a hurry, and also generally wherever I tend to be, you know, it's a question of preparing and stocking ahead, and I'm playing so many other games that I'm not logging in for extracurricular Pirates of the Burning Sea, and during which I ought to be buying and setting up an appropriate and decent ship. I've leveled quite a bit and not really upgraded stuff appropriately as well, so that's a bit of a downfall. It's generally a very forgiving game with levels and such. I mean, you can get by with wing it with just about any old scrap you can throw together, but to do well, yeah, it pays to take a bit of time, travel to some of the hubs, see what deeds are on offer, even try shouting out and seeing if you can commission a ship or two. I mean, there are shipyards out there, and there are people who are building these ships, but it's awkward enough a process that typically people won't just stock a vast variety of ships on the market. If you need something specific, you may need to commission someone to actually go and buy that for you, you know, build that for you. We had a go at PvP last week. That didn't go so great, to be honest.
When does it ever?
No, well, exactly. I'm deciding I should listen to my inner coward and stay away from PvP in general, to be honest. I like it in Warhammer, I like it in Planetside, but everywhere else tends to be a stat-based nightmare in which I'm just too soft to get anywhere with anyway. We ended up in a situation where one level 50 pirate managed to systematically dismantle six of us, all of varying levels between about 15 and 25.
Yeah.
And that is, it's just, I mean, yeah, some of our lot got away, which, you know, was a high point. I got in there and got walloped straight away, and just the shit damage and stat buffs and everything that these level 50s have, it makes a mockery of any kind of PvP unless you're in a 50 as well. We had a friendly 50 come and join us, and he was just wobbling around at the back and waiting for us to all get demolished before he tried to move in and attack the guy.
Want to get in the way. He didn't want to step on any
toes. Yeah, he wanted us to soften him up a bit. Well, that didn't work because we all got him atomized almost instantly. I'm so much of the impression in Pirates of the Burning Sea that you must be level 50 or don't bother with PvP, but perhaps that's because I don't actively seek out fights that I'm likely to win. I don't jump on lower level players. Perhaps that's what I should be doing, kicking downwards. Mostly, though, it is a level 50 only affair, I think, to be honest, PvP, especially the port battles. I think you get shouted at quite badly if you turn up to a port battle and you're not level 50.
That makes sense.
Uber ship. Well, you've only got a limited number of slots. It's 24 aside, and you're hogging a slot that somebody useful could be bringing. I've decided to just ignore PvP in that game for now, and once, if and when I get to level 50, perhaps we can revisit the situation and have a little look, see if it's any good. Sven seems to have limited success, though. He seems to do all right in the one-on-one engagements here and there when he's on other nights, so it is doable. Perhaps it's just me, perhaps I suck, which is not
you
beyond
do
the bounds.
Suck at PvP because you lack that killer instinct.
I haven't
somewhat.
Got the killer instinct at all. It's like, yeah,
you know that split second at the start where you think,
I go,
should I kill this guy?
Yeah.
You spend the first minute thinking,
this guy
but
might
what
not
will they
like
think?
Being be killed. Yeah,
what if I kill them and they are unhappy?
He's here to enjoy himself too. Yes. Still playing though, still going. It's all good stuff. I think we've got a couple of new people joined last week or two. So still. And it's one of these games where a brand new player can be useful, even when we're fleeting up to level 30 or whatever. You can still come along at level 5 or whatever. Try not to take alpha strikes or you'll get disintegrated.
Yeah, you're not the tank.
Yeah. But you've got cannons on board. It's extra damage, and you will level very quickly in a group like that. Yeah, I've seen a couple of posts here. I think maybe Turbold was talking about it. It's something to do with how something odd about the level mechanics. I think when you level in that game, you don't get geometrically more powerful. It's not doubling up every time. You just get it's much more of a linear sort of approach. But having said that, and been on the receiving end of a one level 50 completely dismantling our fleet, perhaps that changes at the higher levels. I don't know. For some reason or another, the level doesn't seem to matter too much in there. And ordinarily, my standard approach to these games is that if you do not have a mentoring system in your MMO, it is broken. So, but they don't have one in here, but for some reason it seems to work still. So yeah, all good stuff. I'm playing EverQuest 2 again, the EQ2X thing. It's all part of my station pass, so it's great being, I tell you, it's great being a gold member on the EQ2X server. Everything works again. It's nice. It's almost like having a proper account. I do have a proper account. I haven't bothered downloading the client, though. You need two separate clients for EQ2X and EQ2 Normal.
That's because they like to keep it interesting.
I know. I question them why they need two different services at all when All the other free-to-play people have bitten the bullet and gone for it full of pelt. They've gotten rid of free trials on EQ2 Live, though. I think EQ2X is supposed to be the free trial, so I think EQ2 Live is going to be dwindling away and dying a death. The Freeport server, the EQ2X server, seems a busy old place, though. I'm doing all right with my furniture sales and my crafting and stuff. Yeah, just strangely compelling gameplay with the gathering and the crafting and stuff. I'm running around familiar places and doing familiar quests in many cases as well. On the Wednesdays, we tend to focus on heritage quests, which are the sort of special big group stuff. Heritage quests tend to give out rewards that are famous items from EverQuest 1, you see. So it's good for your nostalgists like me, but... and also they give out a lot of guild status, which is the ongoing Herculean task of grinding out a guild hall for ourselves. I think we're guild level 16 or 17 now, so only 13 to go. Hooray! Yes, it's going to take quite a while, but...
Are those the last hard 13?
It's a pleasingly futile task, I think. I don't mind the idea of it. It reminds me of original EverQuest 1, only the levelling was like that back then. So, yeah, and it's just nice to... I just know my way around this game. It's comfortable and familiar, and I sort of seem to be playing it more than I should, you know? Considering we did try a proper static group earlier in the year and a lot of people just didn't really find the game clicking for them or wasn't really doing it for them, so it all dwindled back off to nothing. So miniature revival there, but if anyone is interested in EQ2, then we got a little miniature regular group going if anyone wants to hook up with us. It does have a mentoring system, and that mentoring system works very well. Generally, whoever's being mentored will gain XP at a ridiculous rate, and the whole thing levels itself off over a surprisingly short amount of time.
Unfortunately, it's a fantasy MMO, so it's a fantasy MMO.
There's no doubting that, no. Let's see, what do I do on Thursdays? PlanetSide, although I've missed a few here and there, so I couldn't really talk to you about that much, to be honest. I've sort of lost track of what's going on in there, with bank holidays and everything. I should be popping in again this week, hopefully, and try and pick up with that, see where we're all at. Fridays I talked about, which is your Lotro Friday group. I talk about Galaxies. I'm really quite enjoying that. It's weird, I'm only playing for about half an hour every 2 days. I log in, sort the harvesters out. It's like I've fallen straight back into the previous routine of it all, where you set up your harvesters, do a bit of crafting, move the harvesters to the next place, log off, and then don't worry about it for the next couple of days. What's that beeping noise?
It's a van outside.
Oh dear.
Yeah, keep talking.
I should probably keep talking, yes. So, but because with the...
Oh, wow. Could I just say, I've just seen Sean Schuster's picture of his garden. That's an impressive tree that's come down
timber.
In the hurricane. That'll tell him exactly when it was done.
Right.
Yeah, okay, keep going.
Yes.
Well done, Sean.
So I'm doing the Starship Engineer, which is even more ridiculous than Architect was in terms of building items and objects and stuff. I mean, for example, the current levels of Starship I'm building, which is Y-Wings, TIE Fighters and Ixons or Kimigolas or something, whatever the neutral ones are called, they require 12,000 units of steel and about the same amount of other stuff, ore and aluminium and stuff, and you basically just go clunk, put these huge massive objects together with one combine, do a little bit of experimentation to get some of the stats up again, and then boom, you get a whole level right there and then. It's like the last Starfighter I put together gave me about 80% of my current level as XP in one go, and that was brilliant. It's exactly the sort of gameplay I love, because you sort the harvesters out, they'll mine away for you for a couple of days to put together this vast stockpile of minerals, and then you just log on, do three or four combines, boom, a couple of levels, and then move on. I mean, I still enjoy it. I mean, you might question why I'm playing it at all if I'm only ever logging in for half an hour every 2 days, but then I think some people play a lot of MMOs like that. Eve's another one. It's the sort of the process of it, and I quite enjoy the prospecting as well, finding the minerals, finding the good minerals, that sort of thing. I've got to do some more Starship stuff next, actually fly the thing and shoot some stuff so I can level up and use the better ones, but you know, no hurry, no rush.
Well, you say that.
Yeah.
Will the game still be here?
I don't
after?
Know. They're doing server transfers and things, aren't they? Was there some news about there offering free
server
transfers?
Oh, there was free
transfers?
Server transfers yesterday. I don't know if they were just yesterday.
Was it everywhere to everywhere, or was it from these particular servers to this other server? You know, the prelude to a merge that you
I
often
don't
see.
Know.
Yeah. I don't know.
I
what...
stopped paying attention to news.
Right. Fair enough. I did it. Yeah, I logged in yesterday to do me a little maintenance and stuff, and put some of this stuff on the market as well, and they're selling, so perhaps no one's making spaceships anyway. So, but and there was loads of people. There must have been about 40 or 50 people around Mos Eisley. Lots of blue dots on the minimap and everything. Just seemed unusually populous. So I don't know if that's a particular day or a particular time or what. But
don't know.
Yeah, seems quite busy. So certainly not the server I'm on dying anyway. But I think they are probably doing staged transfers rather than free and fair server merges, server moves to anywhere. I think it's that whole thing where you're only allowed to transfer from these three servers we want to close to this other one we want everyone on, that kind of deal. But it's all good. I mean, it's ticking along. I don't see it in danger of the whole thing closing anytime soon, but perhaps diminishing what the servers and whatnot. Yeah, just nostalgia, ticking along, quite enjoying that. And I think that's probably it for the MMOs. I did a bad thing. Let's talk consoles. I went out and I thought, right, I really, considering how absolutely mentally obsessed I've gotten with 100%ing Just Cause 2, I figured I probably ought to buy my own copy. so I went out and did that. I found it for a tenner in Sainsbury's, and I gave you your one back.
So now I'm
so you're desperately trying to 100% it before I do. Yes, this is a familiar pattern. Anyway, while I was there, I thought, oh, 10 quid.
I stop at 75, actually. That's when the achievement is.
It's not about achievements. It's about absolute perfectionism. so I was in the shop, and I thought, oh, 10 quid, I'll get something else as well. And I had a look around, and I may have bought Final Fantasy 13.
Huzzah!
Yes, so this is me, you know, typically bigoted against JRPGs, but I thought I would give it a go. Because I'd heard you talking about how much sheer raw value for money you get for your £10.
Yes, you can't deny the value for money for £10.
It's about sort of 400 hours of gameplay for 10 quid. I thought, oh, go on then, it doesn't matter how good or bad it is. It's about quantity, that's the key. I buy my gaming by the kilo. So I thought, I'll go on then, I'll give it a go, because I'd seen you playing a bit of it, and it looked interesting. And I really like it.
I know.
It's weird. I mean, I thought, oh, go on then. Impress me if you can. And, you know, sort of by about, I think I'm about 7 hours in so far. So it's probably still on the tutorial.
You're well in the tutorial. Beginning of the tutorial. Tutorial for the tutorial.
I'm really enjoying it, actually. It's a strange, strange thing. And I'm sort of looking at it with my wizened, jaded gamer pundit eyes, as well as just as a gamer. And it's just fascinating seeing the compare and contrast that against, I don't know, any typical supposed Western RPG, Dragon Age.
Dragon Age is a good example.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, for starters, I think it's probably fair to describe Final Fantasy 13 as a story with some gameplay bits in it.
Yeah,
it's very much, I suppose, the design intent. They must have gone at it thinking, let's tell a really good story, but put some game in here, which is generally entirely the opposite way that Western RPGs are designed. I think that really shows as well. I mean, I suppose you could argue, okay, so yeah, pretty much all of it is cutscene, fantastic overblown landscape around you, but surprisingly linear corridors when you abstract it out. It's basically run from A to B with no side deviations.
It opens up after the tutorial.
Fight a few things along the way, and then there's a big cutscene, and you find yourself in another set of. They don't look like corridors. They look fantastic, and it also gives you the sort of gives you the illusion that you've got a huge amount of choice and freedom, and this is a massive world. When actually, no, you can only go over there, and then fight that thing and that thing. So I'm wondering if the gameplay is perhaps its weak point. I mean, the cutscenes and stories are just ridiculously elaborate and over the top. I mean, you can go, sometimes there'll be 2 minute cutscene, one fight, 2 minute cutscene, you know, exposition, flashback, 2 minute cutscene, another fight, you know. So, I mean, I found myself putting the controller down and just watching for a bit quite a lot, and that seems to be normal gameplay. I don't know, does that get a bit more gameplay based later in, or... Yeah, is it always going on about that?
No, it opens when you get after the 20-hour tutorial. It does.
I'm on chapter 5 apparently of I don't know how many, but
619.
Yeah, it's got a gameplay time counter in the corner as well, and I'm bearing this in mind because I've heard you talking about it, and I've looked. Yeah, I'm up to about 7.5 hours so far. It's a sort of ensemble RPG. You put together your ragtag band of misfits and you deal with a big problem. You know, very, very sort of BioWare, very RPG based. You know, pretty much all RPGs work like that. But just the sort of intricacy and elaborate backstory, I find myself really sort of seeing these characters as characters rather than he is the fighter, that's the healer, that's the wizard, I'll need that one and that one to get through most of it. You know, these people are developing into people as it goes on just by the sheer quantity of exposition and flashback.
The weight of exposition does start.
By the time you get as far in as I have, you can't not see them as people because you've come so far with them. But they're not irritating people. They seem quite interesting. They've all got interesting little quirks, and I find myself wanting to know more about them. You know, despite their universally stupid hair. One of them's got a bird living in his hair. What's that all about? Anyway,
it's unhygienic. That's what it's about.
That's not a nest. Yes, and they've put a lot of work into the hair. It flutters in the breeze. It flows around when they move about. You know, it's a hairdresser's dream. This game, I recommend it highly for hairdressers. But the combat's interesting. I've recently learnt how Eidolons work, and it's just absolutely goes over the top and into. Bizarre menu JRPG over the top mega combat, pretty much all the way from there on. You sort of push a button and then it summons this thing as a giant horse, which is also a robot in disguise, and it gallops around the sky dropping petals out of its hooves, then it lands next to the hero, jump on the back, out comes an enormous sword, and then you go into combo mode, and yeah, it's like special attacks and so on, and all this takes about 3 or 4 minutes, and you, by the end of it I've done about as much damage as one normal attack. And I'm thinking, well, that was very impressive, but I can't help thinking if I'd have just spammed the auto queue, it would
have
got
through it quicker. At the right time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm worrying about the combat. It seems very button mashy at the start, obviously, because it's got a lot of different concepts it's going to gradually introduce me to, and I'm okay with that. I'm finding it's all right. It's sort of menu combat, isn't it? But also sort of real time. You've got this bar that fills up over time, and when that reaches the top, you can unleash whatever combo chain you've constructed in that time. But at the same time, it's not going to stop there and wait for you to do your stuff. They'll get on and attack you after you run out of bar, is it? I don't know. They all have their turns, and you've got to be pretty much on the ball as well. I was expecting it to, because I've played the occasional JRPG in the past, and they were very sort of stolid affairs where, you know, select item from menu, select target from menu, select other item from menu, you know, and you're thinking, well, why does any of what's going on the screen need to be there at all? And these are sort of like that, but it seems a lot more dynamic because it's all happening in sort of pseudo-real time, I suppose. It feels like it's all going off at the same time. I like having to study the creatures to learn their vulnerabilities and stuff. That appeals to me for all the stats and so on. Also, I like the whole Crystallarium thing's brilliant. I was looking at that and I sort of watched it unfold and flare up into 8 different dimensions and then have glowing balls everywhere and different lines and connections and stuff. And I was thinking... I was thinking of the World of Warcraft talent window, which is basically a small window with a series of icons, and you'd click the icon to make the number get bigger. No, you know, they've obviously looked at it and thought, no, we're not going to do it like that, we're going to do it like this. And a massive sort of crystal chain thing with orbits everywhere.
Wait, see, one of these games has style.
That's exactly it. I mean, it borders on the pretentious pretty much all the way through, and I'm thinking, yeah, how much of this is justified and how much of this is just them really going mental? But then I thought, well, I don't really care because I'm just really enjoying it. For starters, it's not World of Brown, which, you know, so many of our games are. Looking at you, Dragon Age, and
that's got red.
It's got comedy blood splatter. Yeah, it's sort of brightly coloured, even in places that are supposed to be grim and gritty and dark. They're still using the whole palette, which I appreciate a lot. It doesn't do blood. It doesn't do really harsh. It doesn't do super harsh, over the top, gritty and darker and edgier in any shape or form. And yet, at the same time, despite them all being brightly coloured people with fantastic hair and no obvious bruising or physical injury anytime they have for combat, the story itself is really actually tackling some quite dark themes. I mean, I was quite surprised early on to discover the story opens with a train full of people basically being dispossessed from their place in society, put on a train and sent to a better place.
Yes.
Finger quotes. Yeah, and sure enough, as the story unfolds, you realise there is no better place. They're just going off on a train somewhere to be killed. And I thought, my God, this is basically the Holocaust. The start in the story, this brightly coloured, happy-go-lucky Final Fantasy world is mirroring some of the worst atrocities at the early part of the Second World War. And I thought, my God, you know, here's me thinking that JRPGs are just sort of stupid over the top. A lot of fun and lollipops and brightly coloured pink things attacking each other and so on. But, you know, this is a sci-fi world that's admittedly very stylized and colourful, but is really attacking a lot of dark and quite mature themes. I mean, a lot of the main thrust of the story, as far as I can tell, is going on about self-determinacy and free will. You know, I mean, you've got this whole business with the Falci and the Lyci, and anything that goes, you know, however this whole thing goes, is going to be a bad ending,
yeah,
one way or another. I mean, hope perhaps they pull stuff out of the fire, perhaps there's some twist at the end, I don't know, but already, you know, we're talking lots of difficult themes of redemption and loss of you know, one little kid there who's having to deal with a very sudden passage to adulthood and a tale of revenge and betrayal and everything. It sort of fools you with its bright breezy and the J-pop going on constantly and the combat as well. Da, 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 da. You know, you're being attacked by a giant robot with buzzsaws for hands, and there's a sort of la 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 la, great music going on all around you, really sort of doing your head in a bit. Just very surprised. I'm finding a lot of my preconceptions challenged, frankly, by this whole thing. Is this good, representative of the genre, would you say? Or is this a sort of JRPG light, or have they made concessions to Western audiences?
It's a lot more dumbed down in the way that phrase should never be used.
Yeah, yeah.
Than a lot of the other games, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just surprised.
Or it could just be a lot more refined, like a lot more Western RPGs are getting a lot more refined now.
Oh, it looks amazing. Yeah, it looks really good as well. Runs smooth and everything, and I'm thinking, blimey, this is all coming out of my 360, is it?
Yeah, that's even not quite as good looking as the PS3 version.
Blimey, yeah, I was just very impressed with it all the way through. And you know what? They've even designed it in such a manner that the writing isn't too small, which I appreciate as well. Nice big writing.
You should buy an HDTV.
I should probably get HDTV one day. But, yeah, and I found that's just absorbing a ridiculous amount of my spare gaming time, actually. I'm probably going to try and complete it, but I suspect it's...
I need to finish it one day.
An enormous game that's going to take quite a while to do so, which is something else I appreciate,
too. I think I have
to
finish it before later this year.
Is there a new one?
Yeah.
Because there's a 14, which is the MMO.
That's the MMO. We ignore the MMO.
Which apparently hasn't started billing yet something. Yeah, a bit of a train
Some people like it. A lot of people don't.
Mm. So the thing with the Final Fantasy thing, they're not a linear sequence.
No.
They don't all lead. They're not sequels to each other in story
terms. No, not
at all. They all start with a fresh story, fresh characters and
stuff. You'll have a chunk of stuff in the same... universe, and then they'll do the next one.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, so enjoying that a lot more than I thought. So there you go. Just goes to show. Try it, you might like it.
Yep, always try new experiences.
Mm. So, I'm probably done. I've played lots of stuff, but go on then, you can talk.
Okay. Well, I've spent the entire week playing multiplayer on my PS3.
Ah, right.
No, I haven't.
No, that's a big lie, isn't it?
There's no PS3.
Oh, dear. We'll probably come to that in a news show or something, but...
Yeah.
Impacting
yes.
your gaming a bit.
Yes. Let's go back to start with the game. I played
did
some.
A little in. Did a little in.
I played some Full House Poker.
Oh, okay. Your poker addiction going on nicely.
I was ticking off some of the achievements you can only get as part of the spring 2011 season.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got one more to get on that, but I don't know if I can be asked that anymore.
Right.
I think my addiction to poker ran out the moment I finished Victoria Cohen's book.
Uh-huh.
While I was reading that, brilliant, poker's best thing ever.
Yeah,
finish that. No, no
more poker now.
More poker.
Right. That's the plus. Yeah, that's your big defence against addiction in any shape or form, really, isn't it? Your apathy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
definitely. Yes, I've got a couple of achievements to let get on that still, which will no doubt drag me back in, and I will get hooked again at some point.
But they have different seasonal...
Yeah,
tournaments and things, don't they?
They've got the first. Whether or not they'll have a second is always questionable with Microsoft.
Right.
Well, they get bored and
get bored of the idea, move on. Yeah.
The game I've really been obsessively playing is Test Drive Unlimited 2.
Ah, of course, your driving MMO.
Yeah, I've been driving.
Mm.
Lots of driving. I filled in all the roads in Ibiza.
Blimey, yeah, look, I can see one of your achievements there. We're looking at your Raptor and drive 1,000 kilometres.
Yay.
No problem.
I don't do that normally. I've won the Cup in Ibiza.
Uh-huh.
I've driven every road in Ibiza.
$1 million.
Yeah. Oh, that you get that before winning the Cup.
All right.
I made a 100-meter jump. I was in a Subaru Impreza driving along the side of a mountain when I hit a bump wrong.
Whoops.
And I got 100 meters
long
of accident.
Way down.
That was a bad crash.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I drove away from it because you can't.
I can't believe it rewarded you with an achievement for that kind of recklessness.
I can.
Yeah.
It's a good game. I like it.
You certainly do. Raptor's being sarcastic about the amount of time you're playing in there, yeah.
That was only 11 hours, 4 minutes.
That was quite a marathon of Test Drive Unlimited 2.
Yeah, 11 hours is a long time to play.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got one of those gameplays which really OCD people get into, because
when I saw you filling in that map,
it's brilliant. I spent half an hour trying to find the last 0.1% in one of them. It was brilliant. I recommend it if you like driving games, but not if you don't, because there is an awful lot of driving in it.
I mean, I sort of hummed and hawed about it and decided probably not for me in the end, because I still haven't finished my gold license in Burnout Paradise yet. So,
oh, I need to do that. Mm. What about your Burnout license?
I don't know. Whatever the top one. I'm sort of like a B or a C or something at the moment.
You've got a couple to go.
Got quite a lot to go, but that's because I'm not really a driver in my gaming.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and every time I go to the casino in it, there's the casino DLC, which gives you an alternate way to get a bunch of levels.
Oh, right.
And every time I go to that, the multiplayer for that is offline, which is annoying.
Oh. So that relies on some sort of centrally hosted thing.
Well, the multiplayer in the entire game is a little bit shaky still.
Ah.
It launched incredibly broken, and it's not 100% up yet.
Yeah,
and it's
fair enough.
A tad annoying.
Hmm.
Yeah, and they really need to do something about it. What else? Oh, yes.
Oh, you're allowed to talk about this.
I'm allowed to talk about that.
I suppose you are, yeah.
There was some Just Cause 2. I'll come to that game now. We'll find the last two.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Just Cause 2 is great. I haven't played it for a long time.
That's because I've had your discs for about 8 months.
And I've forgotten how brilliant it was.
I've got my own copy now.
And so I logged in and just spent a couple of hours, actually 5 hours. Didn't seem like five, just pottering
busy
around.
Hours. Look at it. Two achievements.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, they were both do X things, and I was very close to both of them.
Yeah.
And I just did these by accident.
I should have kept your copy, really. You're going to catch me up.
I am, yes. Yeah. Oh, it's a brilliant game, isn't it?
It is. I can't fault it, to be honest.
I just went around and did a couple of towns, clear them out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, and then there's the two other games, one of which isn't on my list because I've been playing on PS3 because I was clever.
Ah.
I decided I'd buy it on PS3. I will get Portal 2 on PS3 because it comes with a free version of the Steam version.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can redeem it. I can go onto PSN, redeem it, and get the PC version and play it on PC.
And what could possibly go wrong with the PSN?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, PSN wouldn't go down and never come back up.
That's rather unfortunate timing, and possibly coincidental or not coincidental timing.
Yeah.
Portal 2 launch. Mm.
Yeah. So, I've actually put that on 360 now, so I can actually play some multiplayer.
That's bad. The system's down in such a fashion that you had to go and buy it again for a different platform.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to give you some money, I think, somewhere.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Sony are going to be arses about it.
Mm.
Well,
it's going to reflect on your future purchasing choices, I'd imagine.
It's going to reflect on whether or not Sony ever get my credit card number again.
Well, exactly.
Which is looking unlikely at this point, until they can prove they can be trusted with it.
I think we might have to come back to this as a topic or news or something.
Yeah, so Portal 2.
So you played some of that, though. I played quite a lot. Okay, fair enough.
I haven't finished it yet because I've got to the point where I've deliberately slowed down to savour it, because I know I'm getting a bit near the end.
Fair enough.
It's brilliant. It's the best game ever made. We can stop now. There's no point to make any more games.
Is it really that good? I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed Portal 1, of course. It was very clever, but there are other games that are probably nearly as good.
Nope.
No?
Nothing comes close.
Right.
it's just a perfectly presented game, perfectly timed comedy, perfectly timed puzzles, perfect tutorial throughout it.
I shall probably have to get it.
It never tells you you're an idiot. Mm. It encourages you to experiment. It always tells you just what you need to know to do the puzzle if you think about it, and it's great.
Right.
It's wonderful.
Excellent.
And Stephen Merchant's doing his character from the TV ad.
Fair enough.
It's annoying, but yes. He does a bank adverts over here, and he's basically doing that quite a lot, and it's annoying. But he's quite good anyway.
Right.
I won't tell you anything about the plot or the
puzzles. No, I think we're well in truly before our statute of spoiler limitations. Yeah.
Although the information that everyone does know is there's gels now as well. So there's bouncy gel,
I'd heard
speed
something
gel,
about that.
And
somewhat new
another
mechanics.
Gel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So that'll mix things up. Because that's what I was wondering. I mean, if they just kept going with the basic Portal mechanic from the first one, could you get a whole second game out of it? Obviously not. So
you get the first.
Needs to be something else.
Several
as well,
hours out of just that mechanic.
Oh, right. Fair enough.
You start off again with only one Portal as well, because it teaches you how to do it again in case you haven't played the first one.
In case you haven't played the first one, yeah.
And then you get a whole bunch doing with two Portals.
Because it was fascinating playing through the first one and listening to the director's commentary things that you can turn on. And it's, very much a large amount of the first game is teaching people how to get their heads around this whole new thing.
I am really looking forward forwards to going through the director's commentaries in this one.
Yeah, are they doing that again? Yeah. Are there little speech bubbles everywhere?
It's the best thing Valve do.
It's very clever.
They just tell you stuff in the best possible way, and it's brilliant. And everyone needs to know these things. Because every game designer needs to play every Valve game with a director's commentary and figure out why they did stuff.
Oh, it's very informative, yeah.
Yeah. It's brilliant. It's 10 out of 10 game, best game ever made. Mm-hmm. Don't bother making any more. It's brilliant.
Right, I'll have to go and get me a copy as soon as.
Yeah, and the last game.
Would you recommend, just to interrupt there, PC or console for Portal 2?
I don't think it makes any difference.
No? Controller and mouse and keyboard and all that?
Yeah, you don't have to...
You've played both of you? Or?
No, but the puzzles...
They're all doable with the controller.
Unlike in the first one, there's no really tricky trying to do complicated things.
Yeah, that was the trickiest bit of the first one, is that double momentum drop thing where you've got to reposition the one you're going to land on in flight as you're falling towards it.
That's a lot easier now.
Yeah. I think that took me a lot of goes to get that bit right. I mean, I knew what to do. It was just having the dexterity to pull it off is the tricky bit.
Yes, it is.
Buy on whatever platform you like.
Yeah, buy on whatever platform you like. Not PS3, though, because Sony are bastards.
Because there is no PSN anymore.
It's just really good, and everyone should buy it.
Excellent.
And it's a lot bigger than you think. I think people have said it's really short.
The first one was quite short.
Yeah, but people have said this one's only 4 hours, and they're obviously lying. And I think what's happened there is they've got so far through and thought they were going to finish and don't realise there's the whole extra bit.
There's probably more to it, yeah. Oh, fair enough.
There's more than the two main characters in it.
Well, you can play through it and let us know how long it took you, and then that'll be truth. We'll have some Portal facts.
We'll have Portal facts. Portal facts are good. Oh, actually, I have a chicken fact for my next game.
Oh, chicken fact.
Yes.
I love chicken
facts.
I've
been playing Gears of War 3 beta.
Oh, okay.
It has chickens.
Oh, brilliant.
One of the multiplayer maps has chicken.
Chicken fact. Okay, well, what chicken fact have we got? Chickens don't survive chainsaws very much.
You're too busy running away from people shooting you to notice the chickens.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Chicken cameo.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it's the Gears of War 3 beta.
Yeah.
I know you don't like betas, but...
No, I find the whole process offensive on a personal level. I don't know why.
What they're basically doing is they're unloading a bunch of the versus multiplayer stuff, so Team Deathmatch, King of the Hill.
Okay.
That sort of stuff.
Streamlining the maps, tweaking them.
Basically getting diagnostic data for the maps.
Massive amount
of metrics.
Making
sure the servers work, figuring out what weapons kill people where and how often they die on the maps, and they'll tweak stuff to make it more balanced.
I could probably let them have this one, yeah. I mean, I still wouldn't want to participate because I have my own principles, you know. Betas, 3-month rule,
There is a definite pattern between shooters which have a multiplayer beta and shooters which don't.
Mm.
And this Gears one is so early... because it's not out until September.
Oh, right.
That it's really going to allow a lot of
feedback.
They'll
actually have time to do something about what they learn, yeah.
Yeah, Halo had one last year.
Yeah.
And
was much better because of it.
Yeah, or if you don't have it, Gears 2 didn't have one.
You make a strong case, yeah. Particularly the multiplayer maps, I suppose.
Yeah.
I
mean, you will never know about those until you get an awful lot of people playing.
You need a lot of traffic through them to learn how well they work. I suppose it's theoretically possible to release fantastic multiplayer just... by chance, but it's probably a more
you're not doing yourselves any favors by doing it.
Here it is, it's live, we finished. Oh, it turned out to be quite good, fancy that. At least here you know that you've tweaked it, you've refined it, you've potentially listened to feedback and changed things to suit players better. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
Hopefully there is a mechanism to report feedback, or just you playing it,
just you playing is all you need.
So there's no box to fill in.
No,
text
they're automatically gathering,
they already
all the information,
know the sorts of things they
all,
want
all
to
of these
know.
Games do that anyway. Mm. And they're just doing it before release this time.
Oh, all right then, go on, then you can have your beta.
And there's one or two things in it which you can unlock in the beta, which I unlock in the release game.
Oh, yeah.
There's
this was you getting quite cross, wasn't it?
I wasn't getting quite cross.
About all the people just AFKing.
Oh, yeah, I was actually getting quite cross.
Yes, you were sending angry tweets and all sorts.
Yeah. Yes, basically, there's two things you need to do. You need to play, I think it's 40 or 50 matches to unlock Cole in his thrash ball outfit, and then another 10 as that character, and then you unlock that for the retail game, which presumably the other people won't have.
That's a cosmetic thing.
Yeah, it's a cosmetic skin.
Doesn't affect stats. Okay.
And also, if you play, I think it's 100 matches or 90 odd, and then, well, maybe 70, can't remember. Mm. But and then you kill 100 people with the Retro Lancer, you get a gold Retro Lancer for the game.
Okay.
Which, again, no different stats.
So some of you unlocking loads of stuff and getting lots of achievements and things, they all get scrubbed?
They're not achievements. They're just unlocks, medals. Yeah.
Okay. Then that all just gets scrubbed when it goes
Yeah, that
all
just gets scrubbed. So but there's those two things carry through, and also some badges you get.
Okay.
There are medals you get for playing on each week of the beta.
Okay.
And so I've got one for playing in the first week of the beta before it was a public beta, so therefore I've got...
I mean, one of the things that does irritate me greatly about so-called open betas is that the beta testers aren't being paid properly for their supposedly professional testing work. So it's nice to see you getting something for your time
and
effort.
And we're having fun. It's a free game.
Yeah, well, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to get cross.
It's a free game in the point where some bits of it may not be entirely balanced.
Yeah. So you're helping them to sort it all out, making the game better in the future, in theory.
Yeah, and so the annoying things are the people who have been spawning into maps, just standing still for a while.
Yeah, just...
Well, for the entire thing, just to tick over the number of maps
played. Taking part, just to plus one their counters, not really helping. And I suppose if a lot of those people are on your team, that makes life difficult.
Yeah, but it's Xbox, so you just go to those people on the... After you finish playing, you select their gamer tag and say, avoid this player.
Ah, right.
And so you don't get them again.
So that kind of behaviour can damage your overall reputation.
Yeah, their reputation goes down, and they've got a flag against them for unsporting behaviour or whatever.
Yeah.
And
it's harder for them to find matches against people who aren't also...
Yeah, they're just hurting themselves by doing it.
Do it and take part in the spirit it's meant if you're having a go at that kind of thing.
At the moment, the first week was just team deathmatch on two maps.
Yeah.
One is a dodgeball court.
Oh, right. So the American football helmet makes a bit more sense.
Is it dodgeball?
I don't know.
Griff dead ball, or whatever. It's the ball sport that Cole plays.
Right.
So it's basically a quarter of that. And there's this massive score thing in the ceiling in the middle.
Yeah.
And you can shoot that out and drop it on people's heads. I was just about to curb stomp some guy.
Yeah.
So, which is step on his head. I shot him down. He was on the floor. Just put a step on his head. And somebody dropped that on him.
Oh. That's no good. Kill stealing.
Just arm and leg there and head there flailing, where the rest of them collapsed under this thing. Really
Lovely.
Annoying.
Yes.
That's an interesting map.
Mm-hmm.
It's very symmetrical.
Yeah.
And... an awful lot of people end up running into a killing zone, but it seems to flow really well, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So
there's obviously a lot of thoughts gone into these things as they're being designed.
Oh,
it's not just let's do a rectangle with some stuff in the middle, you know.
Yeah, there's also a trench system.
I saw you playing.
We're fighting along the trenches.
You had a crazy match in there. You went mental and got like about four times as many kills as everyone else.
Yeah, and then you said, "Oh no, we've got to go out now."
Yes, enough of that. You're starting to froth.
The best game I was ever going to have.
Time to leave. Put the controller down. Yes.
Meh.
Just a question about that trench. How is a trench useful that connects to the enemy trench? That's not generally how trenches are supposed to work.
No.
No, okay.
To be fair...
Just fighting laterally along this
there's
trench.
There's two trenches up there, and then there's a dip with a sort of a bit in the middle. So it's not really the trench in the middle. It's the trenches on either side.
Oh, fair enough.
The trench on the other side, there's this new sniper rifle, which is really powerful.
Oh, hello. Sniper rifle, did you say?
This is really, really powerful sniper rifle. But you can see the laser and it makes a noise.
Ah.
And the people at either one of those trenches camp in with it when they have it.
Yeah.
And it gets really hard to... especially in the King of the Hill mode, which is basically you have a circle on the ground and you have to walk over to it, stand on it for a while, you capture it.
Yeah.
Then you have to tick up to 170 points and you get about one a second.
It's just standing there. Yeah.
Well, no, once you've captured it, it's fine.
Oh,
but
right.
if somebody of the other team comes on and stands on it,
see.
It breaks it and then they can capture it.
Uh-huh.
And you're both fighting to get the points up.
Oh, a lot of sniper rifles focusing on that spot, I imagine.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of sniper rifles focusing on those spots. And it is brilliant. Although, I don't like the sniper rifle because I haven't managed to use one once. I got one.
Yeah.
I got to it before anyone else did.
I have it.
I set up to use it. Then I heard a mortar go off. I think, oh, bugger. Because in the middle is the mortar. Rifle, mortar.
Yeah, I remember the mortar, yeah.
Yeah, so you hear the sound. Is that coming for me? Of course it's coming for me.
Clunk, clunk, clunk.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
Yeah, the King of the Hill mode is really nice, actually. It was in the original game, in 2 as well.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it just seems to play a bit better. I think the maps have been designed more for it.
Yeah.
But it's the same maps you're playing the normal deathmatch on, but it just seems a bit nicer.
Hmm.
But it doesn't quite work as well on, say, the court one.
Yeah.
But in the trenches it works really well. And also there's the town one. There's a town you're running through, which is the one with the chickens in.
Yeah.
And it works really well on that.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's really good, actually.
So, anticipating...
Yeah, and you can probably download it and play it now. I think everyone can get in.
That's generally an open thing. Well, you do, where I think do, it's where
open.
Do you get that? You
I think it's open now.
Go to Xbox Live. Yeah, I think or so.
I got it because I got the limited edition of Bulletstorm.
Oh, but they were doing a staged reopening thing.
Yeah, and each week introducing other stuff. It might be pre-order people only at the moment, but I think it does go fully open.
So by the time you listen to this, you've probably got a couple of weeks access still ahead
and
if you want to get
if you don't mind, I think it was a 700 meg download for me. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind that, play it.
It's not that much.
It's certainly, if you like... deathmatchy style shooting.
Give you a taste of things to come.
Yeah, some new weapons.
Good.
Oh, some really, really horrible new weapons.
Yeah.
There's the Retro Lancer, which is like a normal Lancer, but instead of a chainsaw, it's got a bayonet.
How do you rev that?
You don't. But you run up some spiker and hold up in the air with it.
Oh, blimey, right, yeah, okay.
That does more damage but is less range, and I'm getting a stupid amount of kills of it. It may be my weapon of choice.
Uh-huh.
And there's also a sawn-off
charge.
There's a sawn-off shotgun.
All right.
Which is basically a shotgun where you're best off by holding it against someone's head before firing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it will kill them.
Typically they have very low range but very wide scatter.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the cone thing that it draws on screen is basically a widescreen letterbox in the middle of the screen.
Right.
There's also this digger gun.
Digger?
Yeah. You know, Gears is a cover-based shooter.
Yes.
Yeah, this, you fire it, it hits the ground, tunnels underneath until it finds someone and explodes.
Right.
So if you're stuck there in cover, it will just go underneath the cover and blow you up.
Right. Oh, my God.
It's really annoying.
That sounds quite harsh, yeah.
And wonderful.
I see the ink grenades are still there.
Yeah, the ink grenades. Oh, there's flame grenades now.
Oh, right.
Yep, so you just throw them and you get a patch of fire and you set people on fire.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yes. although it's a bit disturbing, really, because the noises that Anya, as the character, makes when she gets set on fire are a little bit disturbing.
I bet she doesn't like being burned alive.
She doesn't like being burned alive. None of them like being burned alive, to be fair.
In other news, Anya's playable now?
Yep, she is, because she's got a gun and armour and decided...
I guess things at HQ went quite badly then, did they?
I've read the books. Things have gone really badly. There is no HQ.
Okay, fair enough.
There's no Jack either.
Right, oh, the invisible stealth robot. There is a Jack, and he's just refusing to decloak this time.
On the box, Jack's there, and Baird's working on him. He's damaged. It's really sad. Jack was the best character. I wanted to strap guns to him.
Yeah, yeah, that whole Penny Arcade cartoon comes to mind.
Yeah.
Where Marcus is being quite angry at HQ for not distributing more cloaking equipment.
So anyway, yes, I really like it.
So
it's the best game ever. They don't need to make any more games.
You were
going to
buy it anyway. That's a beta. It's the whole game.
It's really good. If you like,
game ever.
If you like the Gears of War style combat, which is slower, a bit more deliberate.
I prefer it. I think I'm not much of a twitch person, to be honest. I don't like running
around. At one end, you've
people.
Got say the Halo.
Yeah,
and then in the middle, you've got the COD. Reflexes. But this is a bit more. Ooh. As he knocks the can off the desk. Mm. This is a lot more, you know, a big slabs of meat running into stuff and the stuff moving because you hit it so
well,
hard.
I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, we often mock the big grey space marine brooding character of a first-person shooter, but these actually handle like space marines, you know. When you're doing the run and stuff, it is a bit of a lumbering thing. You will have, you know, you need to use the cover lots. You can take quite a bit of punishment if you... don't magically make it into cover instantly.
Yeah.
You can take a few shots, which I quite like. Too many of these first-person shooters, it's dead out of nowhere and back to the save point or whatever.
Yeah, it's very good.
Right.
It may not be the best game ever, but it's pretty fun. It's
very good at what it does.
And I can't wait to play the campaign with four-player co-op.
Mm, yeah.
That'd be really good.
Yeah.
Although that digger gun is really going to make the campaign annoying. We'd spent a lot of time in the first one stuck behind cover, not be able to press on. Just get rid of us now.
Still haven't finished the first one end boss.
No,
on
we
stupid,
need to do
we?
That.
Stupid difficulty. We don't have to. We can walk away.
No, we need to do that because it'll unlock a character for the second one.
Oh, right.
Which, we're never
which we could
again.
Then use to play through that one on Nightmare Mode.
Oh, no, I need to get veteran gear, which is get to level 100.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's simple. I can't do that. I'm at level 30-something, I think, or 40.
Remember,
something.
Fun, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's when it gets a bit grindy, it gets a bit annoying.
Right. Fair enough.
So, yes, it's brilliant. I like it, and we should all play the release game when it comes out.
Excellent.
And I guess that'll be all the games I've played.
Right.
Because...
we didn't do a Twitter question because we're all confused and don't know what day it is or anything.
No.
Stupid bank holidays everywhere.
Even this we're recording on a Wednesday.
It's just madness.
Yeah.
So what did you learn this week?
I learnt many things.
Yeah, so did I.
I learnt that you shouldn't scare the hare.
Don't Scare the Hare. I missed that.
Good.
Okay.
I saw the end of it.
I love ITV game shows.
It's BBC.
Is it? Oh, I don't know about that then.
It was on the before Doctor Who.
All right.
I also learnt that you can get really good, cool guest stars in Doctor Who, especially when they're father and son.
Right.
And I also learnt I really, really am fed up with this royal wedding bollocks.
I've learned what a Republican you are, and also I've learned that 6-player Catan, you need to book the whole day off.
You do.
Settlers of Catan with the 5 to 6 players expansion takes quite a while to get through.
It's lucky we only had 6 people. If we'd had 7 people, there, good fun, though. It would have been no fun for that 7th person.
I got 2 victory points.
I started
with 2 victory points.
I got 10.
You won, yes. Well done, you.
Was it 10 or was it 20?
10, I think.
10, it is 10, yeah.
So, that with one. That, we'll see you next time.
Yes. Goodbye.
For a while.
He got it wrong.
I got it wrong. We normally have a can of Coke, but I had to make do with a load of pâté on the way in here in the car.
You ate the pâté in the car?
I'm sick of pâté now.
You ate the pâté in the car?
Well, you know.
You couldn't make a 13-minute journey without eating.
I was peckish. It's been a long day since lunchtime where we had loads of pâté.
Yes.
Once you get a taste for it.